This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Australia, to Scott Maiman of CBS News. He is in Canberra. That is the capital. However, he reflects on the conditions in Australia these last months and weeks because there are suggestions of change in the climate, in the weather, and what to expect in the growing seasons and how to prepare for another round of extreme flooding and raining such as seen over the last year. Scott, a very good day to you. First, your weather report recently. You just left summertime. You've now moved into fall. Anything unusual in that pattern? Good evening to you.
The pattern, it's wet. It shouldn't be like this. This is just nuts, John. We were told La Nina was finished. Now, remember, we've had 3 years of it. But this weekend's forecast tells a very different story. In fact, we have a rain event that's starting this weekend. I'm about to drive through it. I'm going from Canberra, which is, as you know, the national capital, to the Gold Coast. It's about a 13-hour drive. I'm trying to beat the weather, doing all the wrong things, but I'm trying to beat the weather because we've got a rain event which is expected to last 2 weeks. It is incredible. A stormy, gloomy weather. That's what's colouring multiple capital cities. As far as the forecast on the radar, starting this weekend. It is just nuts.
And this very consistent with the rain that you've had the last 3 years, especially the bucketing that preyed on Brisbane. What is that, two springs ago? And then it moved on to Victoria and flooded Victoria. Then it flooded parts of Sydney. Note, Scott, that California, which is catacorner from you in the Pacific Rim, is experiencing the same bucketing of rain, sometimes described as walking under a waterfall, and along with it, huge snow drifts. You've seen some of the pictures, I'm sure, 5 and 6 stories high. It's just odd that Australia and California are having similar unusual and overwhelming weather patterns.
Especially when we are being told Australia has finished with its La Nina weather event. I've seen the pictures, as you pointed out, the LA River. It's usually a dry, barren concrete mass with bridges over the top. But no, it's been full. The snow that you were just talking about on the hills of Los Angeles, just incredible. But it just feels like the wet weather will never cease.
Right.
The shower dampening autumn across the capital cities here. It's ridiculous.
Inflation is worldwide. What about your economy? Is it improving? Does the Albanese government speak to the future?
Our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, says that the inflation numbers that were released this week, well, he says they're actually not bad. He's welcomed them. The cost of living rose 6.8% for the year to February. It was actually a drop of more than 1.5% from the December peak of 8.4%. So as far as inflation's concerned, we seem to be steadying things at the moment. That's the good news. The bad news is the interest rates, we're looking at further rate hikes. It's been up 3.5% each month for 10 months. It's the total amount, I should point out. The RBA, the Reserve Bank of Australia, meeting next week as to whether it will increase rates yet again. But this is having the problem, conversely, from the inflation rates. We are seeing homes being repossessed because the interest rates are going up. The cost of living has gone up. And with the multiple rate rises, people are saying, we just can't keep up with this now. I mean, the official rate might be 3.6%, but the bank rate, the home loan rate itself can be in the 4s and 5s. Some people saying that their costs are an extra $2,000 a month just to pay their mortgage. They've got no money to go out to buy a coffee at retailers. They're curbing their spending. So this is now causing another problem within our economy.
A long-range forecast from the United Nations and the climate change people watching the temperatures rise puts Australia in trouble if something doesn't happen. Long range now, but immediately Australia wants to host COP31, which is the preparation for climate change and the preparation for mitigating climate change. What is your sense of the public and the mood about these projections that Australia will become increasingly hostile to living there. Do people worry about it, or do they put it off because they have immediate problems?
Yeah, we do have the immediate problems, as we just said, the cost of living, mortgages, things like that. But this seems to be a pet job for the federal government. They want to be seen at the forefront of correcting the climate. Now, that long-term forecast you just mentioned, sure, it is around the world. I mean, you can imagine how hot it's going to get in 100 years from now if we don't do something about it. I mean, 6 degrees warmer, it can mean a lot in time to come. How do we curb that? So Australia is trying to get at the forefront. As you mentioned, Australia wants to host COP31, the United Nations conference in Paris. That's coming up in 2026. A lot of people, though, questioning some of the things that the Australian government has put out, saying that we will involve the Pacific nations in this. Well, all good to say that, but there's been nothing concrete as to what the Pacific nations would be involved in. So a lot of people are saying, this is just a talk fest. This is just going to slide under the radar to keep the Pacific nations on side because of the issues we've got with China at the moment. So the climate change COP31 may be one thing, but they're really going too far by saying we will be involving the Pacific nations at this point in time. What will they have to offer at the moment?
Jacinda Ardern, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, resigned, saying she was burnt out. A new Prime Minister is on the scene, and there is a report that New Zealand is now moving aggressively to block or return back or punish people who come in refugee boats. Does this surprise you in Australia? Australia's had the bad press for years, and New Zealand's not ever been in the picture.
John, yeah, this is a huge surprise, actually. Now, first up, Australia, we've had the turn back the boats policy under the previous federal government. We've relaxed those laws since the new government came in. But this is really surprising about New Zealand. New Zealand's always been a welcoming nation. They've always taken people in. They've gone out of their way to help out when there's been a time of crisis with boats coming in. But with the New Zealand new Prime Minister, Chris Hipkins, coming in, he's obviously trying to shake things up, show that he is the leader. So this new announcement of turning back the boats is not really what you would expect from New Zealand. It really is a shift in their policy. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with as far as turning back the boats for New Zealand is concerned, John.
And finally, an Australian company in Europe presenting a meatball made out of a mammoth. How's that, Scott? You know about these things. It was made in a lab, and it was made out of a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, I know. This is something out of Jurassic Park, isn't it? They've grown cells from a woolly mammoth in a lab. From that, they've developed this food type. It's an Australian startup called Vow. They're based in Sydney. But all of this process is being done in Amsterdam, and it's being shown in Amsterdam at the moment. Now, this is incredible to make meat like this from animal cells. It does not require killing livestock. It might be a future run for what we can do on our food situation in years to come. It's supposed to be better for the environment, but it certainly has the talk of not just the nation, but the world at the moment.
Scott Maiman, CBS News. He is in Canberra, the capital of Australia. I'm John Batchelor.